Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Well, welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show. I'm so glad that you've joined me today. And we are talking about a topic that is very near and dear to my heart, and that topic is legacy. And last week's show, just as a brief review, we started this conversation of legacy. We kind of defined it. We looked at the Old Testament terminology versus the New Testament terminology of legacy. So even though it's legacy, we're also talking a lot about the biblical foundation of what that word means. I expressed last week that really to understand legacy, or if leaving a legacy is something that is important to you, something that you really have the desire to do, that we first need to be grounded and have our foundation secure in who we are and why we want to leave a legacy. So I talked about that you have to answer the question of why are you doing what you're doing? Why is it important for you to leave a legacy? And then once you understand the why, which I hope you get from the Word of God and that you get from the Holy Spirit directly, so that you understand the Father's heart for you and the Father's heart of creating a legacy and what that means for you and your family, or for organizations that you support, that once you have that foundation, then you can begin to see the vision. That is the actual terminology of legacy. From there, from the vision, then we can begin to create a plan, which is kind of where I step in the scheme of everything, that we begin to put the plan in place to accomplish the vision. So you need to have a vision, because without a vision, everything will perish. And so therefore, if you have no vision, then there is absolutely no way for you to accomplish or leave a legacy. Now, legacy, as just for from my point of view, is not about the transfer of a bank account or an investment account or an IRA or houses or whatever else you may have. That is a transaction. And as a matter of fact, I think a lot of us use that as a starting point of the when we think about the term legacy, is that, well, I want to leave something behind. Well, the legacy should be far more encompassing than just money. It should be far more encompassing than just an account. And so as we think about legacy, the first question is why? Why is that important to you? And once you understand the why, then you can see the bullseye. From the bullseye, we can actually make a plan. So we talked a bit about what does it mean to be in a New Testament, the New Covenant terminology of inherit or inheritance. And what that term really means is to receive. Compared to where the Old Testament, there was a terminology that means you had to conquer, where you had to go and get, you had to exert force and move things away and possess. You had to do the possession. But now in the New Testament, we're under a new covenant. And we talked about that salvation is a gift. It's by grace. It's by mercy that we have received this. It's not by our force. It's not by our effort. It's nothing that we have participated in. Rather, it has been the sole sacrifice and the sole action of Jesus Christ himself on the cross and the cross alone. And by that, we have been restored to the Father. And by that restoration, we can receive and have an influence on this earth around us. That is the purpose, that hopefully is the purpose, if you are a believer, of why you want to create a legacy. Now, the details of that can be given to you by the Word and by prayer and by the goodness of God. He wants to demonstrate, and he wants you to see what your legacy is to be, what you are to be influential in this earth for his kingdom purposes. And I left off that the New Testament is about receiving then. It is positioning ourselves in a relationship with God to receive His goodness, to receive His mercy, to receive His love. And as a matter of fact, 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we could be called the children of God." So the New Testament is all about heirship, inheritance, and it's about receiving from the Father by grace through the cross of Jesus Christ. And that is a different legacy as a starting point than what anyone else in the world would think about. If you talk to an unbeliever, they would be thinking about having an influence or effect upon this earth, and it may be for fantastic reasons. It may be to eradicate hunger or to help impoverished groups of individuals or underrepresented individuals or whatever the social cry is. There are many good individuals using their finances and using their time and their efforts and their passion and their vision to accomplish an effect in this earth. But is that having a kingdom effect? Is that ultimately having an effect that lead people back to the restoration of a good father? You know, as we think about this New Testament terminology of being receivers and being children of the Most High God, that really changes how we think about how we come to the Father. As a matter of fact, I have two girls. So they're 22 and 23. Right now, both of them actually live at home. My 23-year-old Rebecca has always lived with Mariana and I, my wife. And so she's a very busy girl. She works for me. She's a missionary. She travels for months on end into foreign countries, and she helps at Young Life. She is involved in her church with worship. So she's nonstop. And then Gabriella, my 22-year-old, she just moved back home because she's finishing college. She can do it all online now. And so we moved her back home from California, where she had been for 3 years going to school. All right, so there's some background on my family. But the interesting thing about both of my girls is that when we're sitting around at dinner, or let's say they come in the door after working or just being out, and they come home. Now they're hungry. And they have the audacity to not feed themselves outside the house. Rather, they come to a refrigerator that I bought, food that I purchased and stocked on my own. Well, actually, my wife bought it. But, you know, it's from our efforts. They have the audacity to go to the refrigerator, open it up, and never ask permission and take whatever they want and sit down and eat it right in front of us. Then, on top of that, they don't tip us. They don't give any. They don't contribute to leaving $5 because that was the fair market value of the meal. In other words, they are exactly at home. They are exactly where they know that they are provided for. Their relationship with Mariana and I is one of being daughters to say, "You are loved, you are accepted, and what I have is yours. You don't have to ask permission because once you're in my house, I have given you everything. And so therefore, you can help yourself and you can align yourself as a child." So how many people do you know that charge their 12-year-old for a dinner? "Thank you very much for coming to dinner, but if you could please leave your $5 on the table and tip your mother because she's going to be cleaning up the dishes or because she's the one who cooked the meal." No, it never happens. It doesn't happen. Why? Because there is an attitude of family that transcends. As a matter of fact, so I'm 52 years old. Don't tell everybody, but I'm 52, and when I go to my own parents' house, so fortunately both my parents are alive, I walk in the door and I know exactly where my dad keeps the Coke. I have no problem going to their refrigerator in mid-sentence as I'm saying hello to them and everything else, and in front of them opening up their refrigerator, even though I have not been living in their home for over 30 years. Why? because I'm home and I'm a child. And what is my parents' is mine. And that is the heart of the Father. That is the difference of the Old Testament term inherit, which is go and conquer and you do it, compared to the New Testament inherit, which is you align yourself in relationship and now you have everything that the Father has. Everything that is mine is yours. As a matter of fact, this isn't in my show notes, but it just came to the top of my head, so why not? We look at the prodigal son. He actually takes his inheritance. He actually takes from his father, goes out, squanders it all, finally says, I'm going to go back as a servant. He turns around and musters everything that he can to humble himself to such a degree that he goes to his father and says, I'm just going to serve you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I'm no longer worthy to be of the household. And yet the father doesn't wait on the porch. He doesn't make the son grovel. He doesn't make the son come all the way to him. Rather, he runs to his son and he calls for the robe and the sandals and the ring, and he kills the fatted calf. And then the son, who was always with him, is jealous of that. And the father's response is, but this was all yours. And there's the difference between the New Testament term inherit and the Old Testament term inherit, is that everything has been provided for us because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And when we align ourselves and position ourselves in relationship with our Heavenly Father, then we are now a part of the household. We are now a part of being able to receive and act like children. Just like my kids do when they come home and they go into my refrigerator, just like I do to my own parents, that I go and I freely partake in what they have because it's mine as a child. So, New Testament versus Old Testament. So the entire purpose of the cross is to align us with these great promises. Well, what great promises? In 2 Peter chapter 1, we look at verse 3 and 4. It says that according to his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So there, understand that the divine power has been given to us. We don't have to go and take. It has been freely given because of the cross again. And in verse number 4, in the continuation, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. So again, these precious promises, that word precious means the highest and the most valuable and costly promises, they have been given to us. We don't work for it. We don't earn it. We cannot conjure up enough to convince our Father to love us. He is love. He has always loved us, and that is why he sent Jesus. So the disparity, as we talk about legacy, is that I think oftentimes we think of the work we have to do instead of positioning ourselves into receiving. So the first part of legacy is position ourselves to hear the voice so that we can receive his goodness that gives us a purpose and a direction, and then we can begin to write that down and effectuate it for the blessing of the kingdom of God. So we're up against a break here. If you want more information about my law firm, about Planning with Purpose, about the radio show Legacy and Faith, you can head over to legacyandfaith.com. You can find sessions coming up, seminars, educational things. You can communicate with me. There's an email list, and there's much more there, including any past podcasts. So thank you for joining me on the Legacy and Faith Show, and I'll be right back after this message. Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. I want to remind you that coming up on October 14th at 6 p.m., we have another estate planning workshop, A Biblical Perspective. So head over to the website, legacyandfaith.com. Sign up. You need the link. There's no cost to attend. It's going to be online only. But head over to legacyandfaith.com and sign up for our October 14th, 6 p.m. workshop. I'm excited to see you there.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And welcome back. So glad that you have stayed with me on this journey of what does it mean to leave a legacy? And we're talking about legacy as far as what does it mean on a biblical front? And yes, I truly believe that we're supposed to leave a legacy of character, a legacy that we are to leave our children of example, a legacy of our Christianity. And that can be in multiple ways. That can be by how we've built our character. That could be by what we have done and acted in this earth. It could be by what we have built up in this earth and utilized for kingdom purposes that we want to make sure that that is passed with a kingdom focus in mind. And so what we've been talking about today is the difference between the Old Testament term of inherit, which is a go and conquer, versus the New Testament term inherit, which is to position yourself to receive. And we have to look at the purposes of Jesus to find our purpose. What does it mean for you to leave a legacy? So I'm asking the question of why are you doing what you're doing? Because if you can answer that today, why are you doing what you're doing with your actions? Why are you doing what you're doing with your finances? Why are you doing what you're doing at your church, with your family? Everything stems from a question that doesn't have to take a long time to answer, but is just a repositioning of the barometer to make sure that what I am doing aligns with the heart of the Father. And Jesus, we know, he said that I only do what the Father tells me to do. And so in Luke 19:10, it says that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. In 1 John 3:8, it says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. In Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor, proclaim liberty to the captive, and set free the oppressed." John 9:39, to bring judgment on sin is why Jesus came. In Mark 10:45, to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus understood his purpose. Jesus understood exactly where he was going. And what the bullseye for him was, is fulfilling all of these, that by fulfilling these purposes, we have become the children of God and rightful heirs. And that is one of the most critical things I want you to take away from today's discussion, is a biblical foundation that you are an heir of God. You have legal rights to enter into the throne room of God. As a matter of fact, the word says, come boldly before the throne room of God. And so We are to boldly come because the price was paid and we have become an heir. And what does it mean to be an heir? Well, if my parents were to pass away, an heir means that I receive what they have in store for me, what they have not used during their lifetime. And that is what we have been aligned with. So Jesus's legacy was to usher in the kingdom of God and reclaim man's greatest inheritance, which is a relationship with God, who is full of mercy, full of grace, and full of love. So Adam came into this earth. He was the first representation of what our relationship was to look like with God. But he turned his face from the Heavenly Father and turned it towards the enemy. He believed a lie and therefore the fall of man. But then Jesus, a new creation and had the second seed from the Father, he actually fulfilled his purpose. He actually fulfilled his legacy that the acts, he's been given the name because of those acts that is above all other names. And in Revelation 5:12, we find that the angels are sitting around Jesus and they're proclaiming to him that he is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Do you know that that's what you are entitled to receive, not because of your own acts, not because of your own self-worth, but because you have aligned yourself in relationship with the Heavenly Father, and that we are an heir. We receive the same thing that Jesus carved the way for. The Son led the parade back to the Father. So we get to join in that procession, and we get to receive exactly what Jesus has laid out for us. So in this discussion of legacy, and again, the Bible doesn't use the word legacy, it uses the word inherit or inheritance. Then we look at the biblical foundation that we are sons and daughters. So we need to have an understanding of who we are in Christ first, because through that right perspective, we are able to then receive what we are to do in our calling. So then what does it mean practically to start taking steps and laying out this vision of legacy that God is going to give you? Or maybe he already has. And that is the first encouragement. Seek after the Father's heart. Understand what he wants you to do. And this does not have to do with just money. You do not need to be a multimillionaire to have a legacy. But when you receive from the Heavenly Father what you are to be fulfilling, you need to have a plan of action. You need to have a purpose. And that can start with understanding how to use your money and how to make sure that it is left behind as an inheritance, so that that purpose and that vision and that fulfillment can actually be reached by the next generation. I believe that we are intended to be generational. We are not to be just self-serving. We are to be generational with a kingdom mindset, and that kingdom mindset and that purpose and that vision is to be passed down to the next generation, that it is to be captured by them. And how do you do that? Well, that kind of comes back to the professional part of what I do, which is being an attorney, the legacy and faith aspects, that the legacy needs to be written out. It needs to be proclaimed. It needs to be written down. If it's not written down, if it's not discussed, and if it is not presented to the next generation, how will they know what to do with what you have left behind? Now, this really is not about controlling things from the grave. As a matter of fact, I get a lot of people say, I want everything to go to the kids and that's all, that I'm done. And I don't think, from what I see in the Word, that we are simply just to cut ourselves off and simply die on the vine to say, my life is over. Rather, when it is my time to go home, I hope that I have handed my kids vision and purpose, and also finances, so that they may take over the reins of fulfilling God's purposes here on earth. kingdom purposes, building what he has laid out. But I can't do that if I just simply transfer money to them. I can't do that if I don't lay out what my passion is, if I don't share my passion, if I don't constantly communicate with my family where I'm going and why I'm going and what drives me to proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ. And yes, that does mean that ultimately at the end of the day, you need to have good estate planning documents. Good estate planning documents start with you. We need to protect you so that during your lifetime, you can continue to fulfill what God has laid on your heart. But then, as it's handed to the next generation, that it is handed in a way that will meet the criteria of a biblical legacy, a biblical inheritance, a biblical purpose to build the kingdom of God. And if we don't have the right documentation, then are we just setting up our family to receive money? And I believe that the Father's heart for us as believers is to receive more than money, but it is to stay on course with vision and purpose so that he can be glorified throughout the entire earth, which will usher in the second return of our Lord and Savior Jesus. That is my heart with legacy. That is becoming a greater passion in my heart. And if that's your passion, I'd love to be able to sit down with you, be able to listen to your heart. What has God put on your heart to fulfill? And what can we do together to really make sure that your legacy is passed off? Well, head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's educational opportunities coming up where this will be the topic alone. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. And I hope that this session today and last week's session has been a blessing to you, that you have found purpose, that you have found vision, and together we can lay a legacy that wins people to Jesus Christ and builds the kingdom of God.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.